Good morning. Welcome you all here this morning. And before we go and proceed with our hanging of the green service, there are a few announcements. We have Linda Clark.
Good morning. I just want to thank all of you who committed to singing with the Messiah Carolers next Saturday evening down at the Walking Bridge. That's what we're going to call ourselves. We will meet down there at 6 o'clock. I have words for you to use. I'm not sure about the lighting, so if you want to bring a flashlight, do so. Let's see. Well, we may have a situation. Eric Finkenbinder, if you watch Channel 27, said, if you have a choice of two weekends to be outdoorsy, do it this weekend because next weekend is looking not too good. So we'll just have to play it by ear, and you make your own decisions what you need to do. But please, if you have friends or neighbors at home, bring them along too. The more the merrier, and we should have a real good time. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And we have another announcement. Come on down, Cindy. Okay, 2 weeks for the children's program, and they have been practicing for several weeks now. It's coming together nicely. I do have just a couple of other announcements. This afternoon at 4, if you're available, have nothing else, don't want to stay home watching football. Reverend Richard Adams is being installed at the Port Royal Parish. At 4 o'clock is his installation service at Port Royal Lutheran Church. So keep that in mind and keep him and the parish in your prayers there too. Additionally, envelopes are in the back in the library. I believe George and Kay took care of some things as well as Judy, right? Was there anybody else hanging out during that project? I know Judy and her husband carried them over. I got here just in time to see them go with the last box, so that was good timing. But anyway, so the envelopes are back there. If there are some missing, please let us know. We've already found one that doesn't seem to be there. Either someone else took it or we missed it with the label. But let us know there. And if you see envelopes of people that aren't here, say, by the end of the Christmas season, end of December, feel free to take them to them or any time there. Take their envelopes out to them if they're unable to come, folks like shut-ins and that. I'll be working on that too. We've got a couple new acolytes, one new one, one second weaker, and Sienna will be here. We'll get her up eventually there on that. And I think that's the list of announcements from me. Is there any other announcements for the congregation? Yes, sir. Okay, that's a good point. As you're coming in, and what it involves out here is the first some cement work being done. I think they're ready to do that. And then other things as they're bringing equipment in So don't be surprised if you go to pull in and you think it's maybe Tuesday and jury selection day because you can't get in. Okay, thank you. Good point there. Anything else? Very good. Let us then, in your bulletin, it is on page 1, the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the parent who rouses us from slumber, the shepherd who gathers us on the holy mountain, the deliverer who sets us free.
Amen.
Let us come before the living God in confession. As we wait and watch for the promised day of salvation, we open our hearts to you, O God. Search us and know us. Reveal all that we keep inside. To you, O God, we confess our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your ways of justice and peace. Make us reflections of the radiant love, you have beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved children of the Most High, you are gathered before the righteous judge who has mercy on all. Splash exuberantly in the waters of baptism, where sin is washed away in the river of life. Dwell peacefully in the loving arms of the one who nurtures all creation. Go forth boldly in the assurance that your sins are forgiven in the name of the one who is coming and who is already here, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the promised gifts of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, and prepare the way of your Holy Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. How can we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the King? How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the eternal Christ. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, our Savior? How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
The meaning of the Advent wreath. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The lighting of candles has been a part of worship services worldwide for centuries. The Hebrews burned candles for 8 days as part of their Feast of Lights. Light has been used by many religious groups to symbolize the truth, while the darkness of night has been a universal symbol for evil. Since Jesus was called the light of the world in the New Testament, the lighting of candles has become an important part of our Christian worship. Some early Christian leaders stated that the wax of altar candles represented the body of Christ, while the wick symbolized his soul and the flame portrayed his divine nature. Candles made from pure beeswax were used to signify Mary, since this wax comes from virgin bees. This has resulted in the practice of some churches to burn only beeswax candles upon the altar or communion table. When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple, Simon referred to the Christ child as a light to lighten the Gentiles. From this statement, church leaders have used candles to symbolize the light of Christ shining throughout a broken world. As we light these candles on and around the altar area, we symbolize God, Emmanuel, God with us, whose transforming power heals the world of sin and evil, war and strife, stress and turmoil, suffering and despair. Jesus embodies hope and help for those held captive by oppression. His ministry guides us to personal peace and joy through the illumination of his message of the love of God.
Advent is a time of expectation, and this is symbolized not only by the four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The four candles provide us with a visual way to count off the four Sundays of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us that something is happening, but something more is still to come. The candles on the Advent wreath symbolize hope, peace, joy, and love. The candles are also lit in that order. The Advent season is not complete until all four candles are lighted, with the central Christ candle also burning brightly on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The tradition of the Advent wreath is traced back to an old Scandinavian custom that celebrated the coming of light after a season of darkness. In that day, candles were placed on the edge of a horizontal wheel. As the wheel was spun around, the lighted candles would blend into a continuous circle of light. Today, we use a circle of evergreen to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows no beginning nor ending. There is also symbolism in the colors of the candles in the Advent wreath. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. The pink candle is lighted on the third Sunday of the Advent season. This candle symbolizes joy. Its use goes back to the Latin Church, which asked the worshipers to fast during this period of time. The Gospel of John speaks of Christ as the true light coming into the world. In commemoration of that coming, we light candles for the 4 weeks leading to Christmas and reflect on the coming of Christ. It is significant that the church has always used that language, the coming of Christ, because it speaks to a deep truth. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming, always entering a troubled world, a wounded heart. And so we light the first candle, the candle of hope, and dare to express our longing for peace, for healing, and the well-being of all creation.
Meaning of the wreaths and garland. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 9:6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Have you ever wondered why we talk about the hanging of the greens, or why an evergreen is called an evergreen, and why Christmas greens are traditionally used to emphasize the nativity? Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, ivy, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die. Through the seasons of the year, they remain evergreen and ever alive. It is no wonder that we deck our sanctuary and halls with evergreens during this Advent season. Advent is the season of preparation for the ever-coming Christ, God's gift to us of renewal and transformation. Because the needles of the pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hand this wreath of evergreens shaped in a circle, which in itself has no end, to signify that the kingdom of God, to which Christ so eloquently testified, is also without end and is realized wherever truth, justice, and peace prevail. The meeting of Holly and Ivy. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the suffering of Jesus, who saves us from our sins by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggest a crown of thorns. The red berries signify the blood of Jesus, our Savior, and the bitter bark they drank offered to Jesus on this cross. As we look at the holly and ivy this season, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
The Christmas tree. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, the children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Christmas tree is originated in Germany in the 16th century. It was common for the Germans to decorate fir trees both inside and out with roses, apples, and colored paper. It is believed that Martin Luther was the first to light a Christmas tree with candles. While coming home one dark winter's night near Christmas, he was struck with the beauty of the starlight shining through the branches of a small fir tree outside his home. He duplicated the starlight by using candles attached to the branches of his indoor Christmas tree. The Christmas tree was not widely used in Britain until the 19th century. It was brought to America by Pennsylvania Germans in the 1820s. Several legends claim the fir tree. The fir is one of the trees from the Garden of Eden. One says the fir is the tree of life, whose leaves shrank into tiny needles when Eve plucked the fir from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life did not bloom again until the night Christ was born. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, we light our Christmas trees. During the season of Advent, whenever you see lighted Christmas trees, such as you see in our sanctuary this morning, let it call to mind the one who brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and the peace to all who receives him.
Poinsettia. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Many of our Christmas traditions come from Europe, but not the poinsettia. It comes from Mexico. If it were not for Joel Roberts Poinsett's love of botany, we may never have known about this beautiful and festive flower at all. In 1825, Mr. Poinsett was appointed as the United States Ambassador to Mexico. On one of his journeys to Mexico, he discovered the vibrantly red flower. The people of Mexico regarded the beautiful star-shaped plant as a reminder of the Star of Bethlehem. As a side note, the red flowers are a constant reminder of why Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child fled to Egypt, because of King Herod's protection of his throne and the killing of many male infants in order to eliminate that threat to his throne. Mr. Poinsett, a practicing botanist, immediately fell in love with the plant and shipped some of them back to his home in Greenville, South Carolina. After a short time of cultivating the flowers inside his hothouses, he began sending them to his friends and family as Christmas gifts. Now the poinsettia has become a symbol of beauty at Christmas time. This Christmas, when you see a poinsettia, think of the Star of Bethlehem shining its light to the world with the glad news of the coming of Jesus.
God of every nation and people, from the very beginning of creation, you have made known your love. When our need for a Savior was great, you sent your Son to be born of the Virgin Mary. To our lives, he brings joy and peace, justice, mercy, and love. Lord, bless all who look upon this manger. May it remind us of the humble birth of Jesus, who is God with us and Savior of us all, and who lives and reigns with us forever and ever. Amen. Before we move to the next hymn, a little bit of homework assignment perhaps. Keep this bulletin and look through the section again on the Advent wreath. For next Sunday, that will be part of the children's message as well as the main message. And perhaps some of you may have already remembered the first candle lit last week has a name, and the name Hope is Hope. Okay. And the next candle that was lit today is peace. The third candle next week will be joy. And a lot of you have heard me use the name of the fourth candle, love, as a main theme. And so those are the four names for the candles of our Advent wreath. And we'll be talking on that next week. And let us now continue with our hymn, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of promise, your reign has come near. Call your people to the way of repentance and inspire your church to bear fruit in the world through acts of faithful services. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, teach those with power and privilege to serve the vulnerable. Give to all leaders wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, and a heart of compassion for the world you so love. Lord, in your mercy. God of the poor, set tables of abundance in all places where hands are empty, when stomachs ache and hunger, and where hearts and minds suffer in pain. Feed and heal all who are in need. Today we pray especially for our shut-ins, the sick, and those who are in need of our prayers, compassion, and care, and who are listed in the prayer section of our bulletin located in the back. Are there others for whom we should pray? Lord, for those listed here, named here, and in the silence of our hearts, lifted up to you, Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, renew in your people all joy and peace in believing, especially those facing anxiety, depression, or alienation. Guide this community of faith to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would be with and bless the Port Royal Parish of Nook and Port Royal Lutherans as they install this day Reverend Richard Adams to be their new spiritual leader and guide. We ask that you would be with all of them, as you are with us and all everywhere. Lead us, guide us, love us, and be with us. Lord, in your mercy. God of eternal life, you promise to take away our sin and gather us in your care forever. We give thanks for those who now rest from their labors on earth, freed from pain and the power of death. Lord, in your mercy. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of Jesus be with you always. And let us share with one another the peace of Jesus. Giver of every good thing, we set before you the gifts that you have already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it, and let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast you prepare for all who hunger.
Amen.
We have come with great expectation to meet the coming Messiah. As John the Baptist cried in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Oh, come to us, Emmanuel. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. And blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awake your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come now with joy to Emmanuel's table. Feast at the banquet of hope and love. Please rise. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal you have invited us to feast with you and with one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior. May God, who gathers us in love, lead you to pathways of righteousness and justice. May God, who knows us more deeply than we know ourselves, lead you in pathways of forgiveness and freedom. May God, who fills us with good things, lead you in pathways of equity and abundance. May the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.